It's time for Under the Hood with Fred Fletcher from Fletcher's Garage. If you have any questions about your car, truck, or SUV, from tune-ups to tires, give Fred a call at 215-949-3232. And now it's time to go Under the Hood with Fred Fletcher.
All right, America's mechanic on WBCB. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Chris. Good to have you here. Hope Jim's doing well. We miss him here, but we'll have him back in a couple weeks, from what I hear. So.
Yeah, he's on the injured list right now, but working his way back to the roster.
All right. It's cool. But, wish him the best, and happy to see him when he gets back here. But,
yeah, absolutely. I know everybody looking forward to his return out there in WBCB land.
Yeah, in our world, he's got a broken wheel.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of broken wheels, you know, Joe was talking to me earlier, Joe LeCompte, our news guy here at BCB, mm-hmm. about this time of year, this morning, feeling a little bit chilly, maybe mm-hmm. people starting to think about winterizing and getting ready for the really cold weather, which is going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. Could be
whether we like it or not.
In a month, in just a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's any time now it'll drop down. Actually, I think it's supposed to go down in the 30s up in the Poconos and 40s down here. So it's coming, and it'll go up a little bit, and then it'll level off and stay low for a while. But now is the time to look into getting the car winterized and having everything checked out so you don't get surprised, you know, when it's minus 35 out. And I won't be surprised because I'm not coming out at minus 35. But if you if you do, more power to you. But, some of the things you can check is when people think of cold weather, the first thing they think of is antifreeze, your coolant,
right.
Antifreeze, make sure that things – your engine block doesn't freeze up or, you know, expand. And to be honest with you, that doesn't happen much anymore. Like in the old days, you used to mix the coolant with the water. And then if you got a little too thin, the water would expand, crack your radiator tanks, crack your blocks on an extreme case. We don't see that too much anymore with the new coolants that are out there. They last longer. Even the pre-diluted mixes are not with water as much, so they still give you the good protection. And a lot of the antifreezes now, what used to be was minus 34 was the standard. Again, I'm still not going out, but the protection from it was a lot less than what you see now. Now it's like 50, 60 below zero, the protection. So, so the coolants and stuff are a lot better than they used to be and a lot less critical for changing.
Gotcha.
So, that's the first thing. But the biggest thing that I see year in, year out is batteries. I'm actually seeing them now. I've had three or four this morning because the temperature went down. If there's any kind of a cold snap, that'll bring out any kind of anomaly that's in your battery. Like if it's somewhat weak, cold weather is going to amplify that and bring it right out. It's just get the battery tested. A lot of people think is if you bring your car and have your battery tested and it tests at like 50%, and they're saying, oh, I still got like two more years left on my car, on my battery. No, that's not the case. It's 50% of life, which is also 50% of the charge status. So anything under 50, if it gets cold, really cold, that's going to go right out. So that 50% is really zero.
Right.
So
right.
A good battery usually tests, or an adequate battery, really tests around 75 to 80% with a 2-year life on it.
Fred, a battery to me seems like kind of a mystery. Like when you mm-hmm. think about the life of your tires, there is mm-hmm. an expectation there. It's a 50,000 mile tire. But what is the average life of a battery? What should people expect? Like lasting four or five years?
Four to five years is a good rule of thumb. I change mine every 4 to 5 years, whether it tests good or not, because it gets that cold. The electrolytes and stuff that's in the battery, we used to call it acid, now it's called electrolytes. Over time, that becomes like distilled water. And the water will freeze. And it'll either crack the case, or what usually happens is the plates that are inside of a battery are made out of lead, most of the cars. Some of them are different, but I'm going to say 90% of the batteries have a lead base in them. And what will happen is when they expand, it pushes the plates, and where they touch, then they discharge immediately. You never know. We had a customer that's actually being towed in this morning. The car started fine yesterday, not today. Battery. I'm going to guarantee the battery's less than 20% now, even though it might have showed 50% yesterday.
Yeah, all that electrical stuff, too. Like, is there any risk of, like, a fire or that type of thing with a battery that malfunctions?
Not too much on maybe on the EV cars.
Yeah.
And the hybrids with the lithium-ion batteries, you see it more and more.
Yeah, what about them? I mean, that's is that also a similar battery lifespan where, like, or
no,
are
they
supposed to
last
a lot longer?
They should last a lot longer, but the problem is they're very volatile, and especially with the hopefully they get better as they go down the road. They've been around for about 12, 15 years, but
I keep hearing hopefully they get better. Hopefully they get better, but right now they're not. And then the people like, oh, hopefully there'll be more places to charge, and hopefully, but
yeah,
the,
that's another.
It's
little...
slow to take hold.
Yeah, I'm very anti-EV at this point. You know, it's like, okay, the concept might be great, but the reality of it is, it's not. You know, with the amount of charging systems that are out there, and the potential for fires with the batteries, like there was one, I think it was over in Trenton the other day. It was a Tesla that got hit on the side, and it cracked the battery, and the whole car caught on fire.
Oof.
I mean, it burned to there was nothing left at all. So, yeah, and they're a very hard fire to put out for the fire companies. You can't just squirt them with water and get them out or whatever they have. They actually have to throw a blanket over them to smother them, in most cases, and that's not easy throwing a blanket over a fire car. So it's very tricky. So hopefully they get better. We'll keep chanting that.
All right. So how about those cars that have like a battery, but also the dual? You get gas. You got an engine.
Oh, the hybrids.
Yeah.
Hybrids. I'm a hybrid fan. I mean, there's still a lithium ion battery, but it's on a different level. And they stay charged. Because when you're driving the car on the gas side, it will charge that battery. Where the EVs are strictly reliant on being plugged in. So there's constantly, you know, if you're one of those people that drive on E until you get gas, if you do it with a battery, you're going to drive on almost dead. You're going to end up with a problem because you're going to really have to charge the heck out of the batteries to get up there. And with the up and down on the battery, it's really not good for it. You know, the dead charge, dead extreme charge, dead. You know, it's like it's going to put a very bad wear on that battery, and that's where you start seeing these fires and stuff. So, but the hybrids will stay charged. I like a hybrid. I'm actually thinking for my wife, the next car will be a Toyota Highlander hybrid or RAV4 hybrid.
Well, then there's the hybrid, and then there's the cars that have a battery, mm-hmm. like backup to the engine.
Right.
That's all. It's like a hybrid.
Right. I haven't seen too many of those in yet, but I shouldn't say anything about them. I'm going to say no, but I really don't know enough about them yet. I've heard of them, but I haven't seen any. I haven't done any research on those.
I mean, we have a C-Max, which is a mm-hmm. Ford car mm-hmm. that has a battery in it, but when it comes down to like actually charging it and using the battery, mm-hmm. it just isn't as I don't know. It just doesn't.
It's not
convenient,
yeah.
Right? It doesn't seem like the charge that you get off of the power that you put in there really isn't that great.
That's why it's a backup.
And right.
The Ford C-Maxes have had a lot of problems with their electrical system, so. Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But we are looking at a new car. I mean, that's another thing I'd like to ask you about here is kind of what are your tips when you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle? But let's talk a little bit more of winterization. Like one of the hosts here at WBCB years ago was the legendary Irv Homer.
Right.
Evil Irv.
Yeah, I remember.
And he was evil because he would have these shows where he would tell everybody, you got to take the winter air out of your tires and put put in the summer air, and this would be like the perfect time of year where he would do that, and people would call up and say, "What are you talking about, Irv? You don't need to do that."
People called me before, called me after listening to Irv, and I was like, "Irv, you son of a."
So there's, you don't have to replace the air in your tires.
No, not at all.
But maybe replace your tires.
Keep an eye on your tires. Actually, you could, that's not a bad idea to do now, because as the leaves fall, a lot of people don't realize this either. I've been preaching this for years. When as the leaves fall and they get wet, they're just as slippery as ice. So if you've got a questionable tire, you know, like it's less than 430 seconds tread depth on there, or you got any kind of wear issue, you go to stop hard on it, on a set of wet leaves, you're going to slide. So, start checking your tires. Come in, have me check it out. I'll let you know. I start recommending tires with 430 seconds or less tread depth. Because 430 seconds, it's like, okay, a new tire is about 12 to 13, 30 seconds deep, mm-hmm. the tread depth. And that'll last a long time. And then once it gets down to like 5, it goes away quick. Because, you know, the temperature and everything, it just goes away quick. It's not like a certain amount of miles. It just, for some reason, it like exponentially just drops. So, I start recommending around 4, because if you go into the winter with a less than 4, that's probably going to be less than 2 by Christmas, you know, depending on how you drive. But, so that's something to check out now. You want to make sure you get a good all-season tire, not just, you know, one of the cheapest tires. I won't put the cheapest tires. I can get the cheapest tires. I will not install them. I'll send you on your way before I install crappy tires on your car. Because a lot of them have a plastic base to them, the cheap tires. Hmm. There's plastic and rubber. It's like a hybrid. You know, it's a mix. So the plastic just does not give you the traction. It repels the water. It rides the water. It doesn't push the water. It rides on the water. Mm. So you're going to be hydroplane.
Right.
I'm just not a fan that, you know, what I call, quote unquote, dealer tires. The used car dealers will put these cheap tires on there to save money, but they're really sacrificing safety. And I won't put them on.
You know, these new cars, right? A blessing and a curse when it comes to some of the indicator lights that can come on.
Oh, yeah.
And around the tires, right, you get these low pressure sensors on your tires. Well, my tire sensors malfunctioned. Mm-hmm. And so my tires actually are holding pressure, but it's still reading that there's a low pressure indicator.
Right.
How important is that low pressure indicator to respond to make sure that you got the right kind of tire pressure in there? So even if your tires are good, if you got a slow leak, they're not going to perform right.
Right. I just changed one for my cousin just before I came over here.
Are those sensors expensive? It seems like my sensors are bad.
Yeah, they're usually run about $140 each installed.
Yeah, eesh.
there are some cheaper ones you can get off Amazon, but I tried them. They're not worth it. I get what's called the Autels. We program them and everything right there. That's where the cost comes in, is the programming of them. You can either buy one that's pre-programmed and it's $140, $150, or we can buy the ones that we have, install them free, and then program them, and it's still $140. So, six and one and a half does another when you get right down to it. They drive people nuts. Especially older people, they think there's something wrong with their tires. But it's usually just a little bit low on air, especially on these cold. I'm going to see a whole lot of that now, because the tire pressures will drop down in these temperatures. I think a rule of thumb is every 10 degrees that the temperature drops, you lose like 6 PSI in your tire. So the parameters, I'll use my Yukon as a example. I set my tires at 36, which is what's called for on the car, which is what everybody should be doing. Don't put more in it. More is not better. And when it gets down to 27, the light will come on. So I have to determine whether I have a leak, or if all four of them are down, it's usually just because of the temperature, and then you top them back up at 36, and then you're fine. But the battery sensor in the tire, the tire sensor is a battery. and they go bad over time. They die, you know, just like every other battery. And they generate a low voltage sign, and then it kicks your light on. And then people think there's something wrong with the tire. It's usually just the sensor. So,
yeah, that can drive you a little bit nuts.
Yeah,
for sure. And to drop down to like 27, that does, that seems like that's it happens pretty frequently.
Yes, it does.
That one of those.
Yeah.
Tires is having a low pressure sensor going off.
And some of the cars, fortunately, like General Motors, you can read all four tires. A lot of cars, it just says tire light. So we have to check all four tires to see which one is bad, or you know, find out what the problem is with that. So
So what the it'll actually indicate if it's a front driver.
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, on my the General Motors. Yeah, like I can tell, like, oh, my left rear is at 27, the other ones are 35. I better check that tire to see if it's a nail or something in there, because that's not crazy. But if all four are reading 27, okay, I know it's a temperature-related issue and I can just top them off. But some of the other cars, even my wife's RAV4, it just the light comes on. Like I had her car in Sunday, and it didn't tell me which one. I had to go around and find out which tire was low, and found out it was the right rear. So I did find a nail in my wife's tire. So, but yeah, my car, I would have been able to, like, yeah, right rear's tire, and just go right for it. But yeah, so that is something you could do. And don't freak out if it gets colder out and your tire light comes on. Just stop by and we'll top off your tires and we'll check them out. But a lot of people really get upset about the tire pressure monitor. They get really freaked out.
Well, anytime there's a light that goes on, like I'm a little bit concerned. I think as you should be, make sure to address it. Any wisdom to getting like a preemptive oil change before you get into the winter? I guess when it's due, it's due.
Yeah, when it's due, it's due. Most of the cars are synthetic, so they're pretty resilient to weather changes. They adapt well. I'm going to say probably 75 to 80% of the cars out there are synthetic now. Very rarely do we see some Hyundais and stuff like that are still, you know, conventional oil. But you should use synthetic all year long and everything. I'm a big proponent of that because even though it's a couple dollars more.
Now, is that full synthetic? I mean, some synthetic. Places have like a
yeah,
blend.
Yeah, I don't go for the blends. And then you'll find a lot of those blends are just BS. Yeah, I found out that. They'll say, oh, you save yourself $5 and just get the blend. No, just spend the extra $5, get the full synthetic. You can get an extra $2,000-$3,000 out of an oil change interval. Like a conventional oil, I would recommend doing every 3,000, 3,500. You can usually get 5,000 to 6,000 out of a synthetic. So, you know, I'll use mine. Conventional oil change is about $50. Synthetic oil change is about $70. You know, with everything, $75. So, but what you get there is the value of the extra 2,000 to 3,000 miles. So it's like getting two oil changes in one. And saving $20 still on top of that. Yeah, so it's
and it sounds like it's overall better for your car.
And it's better for the car, yeah. And, because you get better protection, better heat dissipation, which is that's very critical. You know, with these higher RPM cars, they run in different temperatures than, say, the V8s back in the day. They run at higher RPMs and higher compressions. The oil's likely to combust. The conventional oil is likely to combust more quickly than a synthetic oil. Mm. So, yeah, so it's just a better all the way around.
All right, we got America's Mechanic Fred Fletcher with us on BCB. It's Under the Hood. So tell us, Fred, should you repair your car or look for a used car in today's market? Like, we're kind of in that trying to figure out what we should do. I guess a lot of the... it's all about the details as far as what is wrong with the car or if it's running right and stuff. But our car is like 150,000 miles on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that is even – should that be a consideration for people? Like,
absolutely. A lot more people are fixing their cars now, which is good for me. But I don't – if it's not cost effective, I would recommend you to go get a car. I'm not, you know, living and dying with, you know, patching people's cars up. I would rather just fix it the right way. If it gets to a point where I'm like, I think we had it yesterday. They're going to need a transmission. It was a car. I said,
oh, yeah.
You have about 150,000 miles on this car.
Same kind of story.
It was a Nissan. And I said, these things are known for transmission problems. It's going to be very expensive. It's probably going to cost you $5,000 to fix.
Well,
I don't do transmissions, but, yeah. I sent them over to, you know, it's going to cost you $5,000.
Right.
It's a 2018. You're not going to find a car for $5,000, but at least you can use that $5,000 to put towards a car. Maybe you spend $12,000 to $15,000 on, because you can really can't buy a quality car anymore for less than $12,000 to $15,000, a used car.
Yeah, we were hoping for like around the $10,000 mark. Yeah, I guess you got to bump that up.
Yeah, I would look it up a little bit. Yeah, almost every car is worth $10,000 nowadays. It used to be every car was worth, you know, $1,000. So now it's $10,000. But evaluate. We take it by case by case basis. So
we got a caller.
All right.
Hey, welcome to Under the Hood. You're on WBCB. What do you got for Fred?
Hey, I wanted to ask Fred a quick question.
Okay.
All these new cars, or most of them anyhow, have the when you hit the brakes at a light, the engine shuts off. Can you talk to that? I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks.
That's a great question.
Yeah,
it's
short
so
answer.
Weird, like you're sitting at the light, and it sounds like the car next to you, like they just turned on the engine, and you're like, what the heck did they but it's like that's a function of that vehicle.
Yeah, the short answer is they suck.
What?
It's the worst thing that they ever put in a car, and there's a lot of bad things they put in cars, but that is the absolute worst. I just had this conversation with Denny Ostapovich, because he has a Chevy Terrain. And it killed 3 starters on his Chevy or GMC Terrain. And,
So what happened? The car gets to a stop, and it turns off the engine?
Yeah, shuts the engine off, supposedly to save gas, save energy, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
BS. Because when you start the car back up, to get the car started back up, it burns a little bit more gas to fire it up than it was already running. So you're not saving anything.
I mean, that's what I've always heard.
Yeah.
Like, if you leave your car idling for a short period of time, it's better than turning it off.
And starting it back up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little less of a problem nowadays than it used to be.
Mm.
It's the worst. It's the worst. Jeep is the worst for this. But, Denny's had 3 starters put in his. And it stopped at the light. I think it was right here at Hood or Penn Valley and Oxford Valley and New Falls Road here. He was telling me, and it never started again. He had to get it towed.
Oof.
And I mean, they took care of it, but it's just like, it's an inconvenience. And for what? Jeeps, you can actually disable them, but you got to do it every single time you get in the car. But Jeep is very bad on these.
So it's kind of a setting that you can opt out of?
Yeah, you can, but you got to do it every single time you get in the car. They're doing away with that now. Now with the new administration and new regulations on vehicles, they're going to do away with they found out it's useless. So, they're going to do away with it. And I guess it'll be an option if the manufacturers want to put them in there, but they weren't making it a standard back in 10 years ago.
Is there a certain descriptor or like something that people would be able to know that car has that type of function, or is it just certain makes and models?
Pretty much all Jeeps and Stellantis vehicles, like Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, Ram. I think the Ram might have got rid of them last year altogether. But, pretty much all the Stellantis brand vehicles, which was the Chrysler, they have them. Most General Motors, it's funny because Denny has it, but my daughter doesn't have it. And she's got the same exact car. So she doesn't have it.
Seems like hard to figure out if you're getting into
you'd
that.
You'd have to ask, or if you look at the button, when you push the button to start it, it'll say stop, start on it, or there'll be an indicator light on the dash say stop, start problem or issue.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's the absolute worst. Did absolutely nothing for the environment, did nothing for anything. What people don't realize is starters have a duty cycle. And say it's got, which is the life of the starter, how many times and voltage it takes. So there might be a 15-hour duty cycle. Now, when you start a car, it takes 2 seconds to start, maybe. So over time, you'll wear down that duty cycle. With the stop start, you're doing that 2 to 3 seconds every single time you stop. Mm. So you're killing the duty cycle on that starter.
I think we got another call here, okay. Fred. Okay. All right, you are on WBCB. What you got for Fred?
Hey, guys, Chris and Fred. It's Joe from North Carolina.
Hey, Joe.
I have a 2010 Dodge Challenger.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the small Hemi.
Okay.
6-speed. I love this car.
Okay.
I'm wondering if these cold air systems actually work, whether it's K&N or some of these other brands. Does that actually give you more horsepower, or is it, you know, just...
It's a heavy marketing issue, yeah.
Yeah,
they don't give you I'm going to say back in the day with the old, you know, the engines that we're used to, a little more air was always better. Nowadays, these engines are designed right off the bat, including your Challenger, are designed with so much on their, you know, they're designed for that with the amount of airflow that goes through there. You're going to give it more air. It's not going to really increase because the rest of the engine and the ECM is going to compensate for that. So it's going to see more air. It's going to send more fuel, but that's not necessarily going to give you more horsepower. Like in the old days, you get more air, more you can always get on it a little harder. But now these things just automatically adjust. So it really doesn't change a whole lot, if anything.
All right.
The K&Ns, and plus with the oil and stuff that we used to soak the K&Ns in, and they do, it holds a lot of dust and crap that floats through the air. So.
Is there anything to the temperature of the air? The air being colder, or
no? Well, they call it a cold air intake because it's actually
they
just bringing more.
They call it cold air.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not really freezes your air, but because there's also an air intake temperature sensor that goes into that. And it'll also compensate for that, too.
Oh, good.
So if it's colder out,
yeah.
It brings up all the parameter readings in the ECM for the fuel injection. Like, say, if it's 20 degrees out, it's going to say, you know, it's reading 20, send a little more fuel. But the cold air intake doesn't really do anything. So it's really a big marketing thing and stuff a lot of people say, hey, that's cool.
Well, next time you're down at the Outer Banks, go west a little to come to Mayberry, and we'll give you a squad car tour. Well, you let me know. We'll set you up.
I know. All right. Keep seeing the post. I'm going to get down there eventually.
All right, Joe. Take care.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Joe's like the mayor of Mayberry down there.
Yeah, he's down there with Opie.
Yeah, it's called Mount Airy, but that's where they filmed the Andy Griffith show. So, yeah. He needs a big in racing and stuff too. So, but the cold air intake is more of a gimmick thing nowadays. I mean, even back in the day when we used to say, "Oh, this is cool. We'll take our air cleaner lid, turn it over." Yeah, that really didn't do that much. You know, we used to say it was cool, but
you know, maybe next time we get together, we can talk a little bit more about some tips or advice when people are looking at buying a used car. I'm guessing you can check out cars for people.
Yeah, I do that. I do check out cars if somebody. I'd rather have you bring your car to me before you buy it, so I can give you the heads up. Like if you were going to bring me a 2017 Nissan Rogue, I can say, okay, the transmission's working, but I want you to know that this is an issue.
Right.
So, you know, this could be an issue maybe next year or 2 years from now, and it's very expensive. So try to avoid it. Look at a different car, whether it's a Honda, Toyota, Chevy, whatever. I mean, each car has their problems. I can tell you what the problems are, what to look for, and how extensive the problems can be down the road.
You guys have been doing some more social media stuff. One of the things that pops up every once in a while on, I guess, my Facebook feed, where they go around and ask mechanics, like, what's the one brand you shouldn't buy? And, like, everybody has, like, a different response and stuff. I'm like, that's pretty... I don't know. That's pretty juicy content there. So.
Yeah, I get the same ones, and I share when I can. And there's a lot of, and if you'll see, one guy's like out in Utah, another guy's in Florida. I mean, there's different things, you know, temperatures and things. But pretty much, they're all pretty in unison about the Hyundais and Kias. So.
All right, so how do we do this now? We got to make a little transition. We go from Under the Hood to Need for Speed here on WBCB.
Yeah, you got a downshift.
So stick around, everybody, and that's what we're doing on your station in Bucks, Burlington, and Mercer counties. All right, let's do this.
Under the Hood with Fred Fletcher is heard every Thursday at 9 a.m. on WVCB 1490 AM and 107.3 FM. Everything you need to know about your car and keeping it maintained with Fred Fletcher from Fletcher's Garage, Hood and South Olds Boulevard, Fairless Hills, your official AAA facility.